to Grace Azos, a warm, caring, kind, and positive Sephardic matriarch. Gracie was born in Seattle on March 25th, 1927. She was the fifth of six children born to David and Mary Israel, who were Sephardic immigrants from the island of Rhodes. Gracie's birth name was Sipporah, but her sister Sarah changed it to Grace before beginning school so she could be more American. Growing up in the Central District, Grace graduated from Garfield High School and then briefly attended nursing school. She married Solomon Mo Azos in 1947, and together they had four sons, Steve, Dave, Albert, and Jay. Grace had a long career in banking, rising from a teller to a manager. Grace's integrity, work ethic, and care of her colleagues contributed to her success. Later in life, she moved to the Summit. Those years were arguably the best and certainly the happiest of her long life. She enjoyed being part of the Ladineros, and she went beyond her comfort level to speak publicly at International Ladino Day, where the Ladineros were always center stage. Grace also enjoyed knitting and mahjong. She took advantage of field trips and socializing with longtime friends and family. She loved working crossword puzzles and was known as the sweet woman working on the jigsaw puzzle. Gracie had so many positive traits. She was the kind of woman that everyone would want to have as their mom, grandma, or auntie. But also, what's so very rare, she was the perfect mother-in-law too. She would always allow you to make your own decisions, but she would be there to give her wisdom and be supportive. Jan, Terry, and Arlene all called Grace Mom because of their closeness to her. Dana came later, and she called Grace Nona, and that was normal and just showed how accepting and warm Gracie was to all her daughters-in-law. She never spoke badly of anyone. I think one of the secrets to longer life is not sweating the small stuff. And one of the ways to do that is to have a happy disposition. That is something that Gracie had in bucket loads. Her kind and sweet nature. She was so unassuming, something which her sons have. She never wanted to put anyone out. She was so appreciative of all that she had. She was able to let you know you were loved without being demonstrative. You just felt it with Grace. I remember Dave asking me to come visit Mom when she was at the Klein. But first, Dave, as he told it to me, said he had to ask Mom if it would be okay with me. First, you had to check if it was okay with Mom. And the conversation went a little bit like this. Mom, would you like the rabbi to come visit me? Do you think he'd like to see me? Sure, the rabbi would love to. Are you really sure? When I went to visit Gracie, she would often ask about whether she'd lived a good enough life to go to heaven. She even said she wanted to volunteer in heaven if she needed to do any extra work. Grace had hard times in her life, but she overcame adversity and she took lemons and made lemonade. She leaves a legacy of a loving family who will miss her dearly, but are happy that she finally gets to be in heaven. And I'm sure she's already volunteering. A sweet, gentle lady. I'm gonna miss Gracie. That smile, that glint in her eye, that kindness, that unassuming nature of always putting others first. You are all so blessed to have her as your mother and as your special auntie. She really was ancestor. She was a special, one of a kind. And we should emulate her to realize that when we put others first, we get so much more out of it. There will not be many Gracies again, but I tell you, we are enriched to have had her in our lives, and we should take great comfort in knowing she lived a long, long life, and she felt blessed She felt blessed at the end of her days. I'm going to ask Jay to come up.
Thank you, everybody. My mom wrote an ethical will back in September of 2013. And so we decided that it would be good for us to read it. I've got amazing hair because there's probably a pretty good chance I'm not going to get through this. But I'll give it a try. Dear family, my desire was to leave you an ethical will. I want to start by looking at our family's values. Here are some of them. Working together as a team, giving our time whenever we needed it, having good working ethics, being honest to ourselves and others, loving our spouses and children, enjoying our lives, working hard to earn a living, but enjoying the extra perks like fancy cars that come with that. Your dad and I wanted you to be independent in your thoughts. Remember how I used to caution you about not believing everything you heard from someone of authority, but to question everything and reach to your own conclusions. A value I learned at an early age, but kept on learning, was in regards to my health. As you know, at the age of 12, my sister Sarah took me to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, for a bony growth on my upper jaw. To me, it was a great adventure. Mama packed us sandwiches, and we rode on a coach, my first train ride. I had surgery, and they verified no malignancy. Two people came with white gowns and masks and put a little vial on a box and attached the box to my face. I stayed in bed for 2 days. No one came near me except Sarah, who sat on a chair next to me for the duration of the time. I always felt the reason they kept their distance was because the little tube had live radio. We returned home and I continued to go to the Swedish Tumor Institute. I had what was called fibrosis dysplasia and I continued to have surgeries and biopsies. I was very close to Sarah. She was the one who was the cement in our family, the glue. She went to school and learned English. Education became a very important to her. It was through her knowledge of English that she helped the family. Sarah joined the Army, became a captain and a company commander in Hawaii. She excelled in school and made Phi Beta Kappa. After the war, she married Dave and they had Marcy. Though Marcy did have to endure teasing. When Sarah died, Marcy became a key person in my life and I became a key person in her life. I am grateful for her friendship and for my connection to her. For some ways, it was my connection to my sister. I am proud of how you are there for her and ready to help her when she needs it. As you know, when we were growing up, I had breast cancer followed with a radical mastectomy. Later, I had ruptured ovary and then removed my ovaries. From these experiences, I realized that no matter what challenges I may have health-wise, I realized that I have a future and I never gave up. I hope I was able to impart to you my ability to look on the bright side during difficult health issues. Even when I was told the worst, I knew I could lick it with God's help. I also had some help from the Ladino Hocus Pocus. Your dad and I married at 20, and by 23, we had 3 sons. We were ill-equipped to parent you and provide monetarily for you. But we learned along the way, as all parents do. You were our teachers. When we had hard times, which we did, we tried to take pleasure in the little things. We had fun, like going to Bluma's on Cherry Street on Sunday after religious school and picking up rye bread and salami. What a treat it was for us. Jay, you were born late in the marriage. and your brothers became your surrogate mother and father. They doted on you and loved you and cared for you, for which I was grateful. When I had my cancer surgery, you were only five, and your dad was working two jobs. Your brothers always joke you had it so easy as the youngest in the family. I want to praise you all for your ability to work together from childhood to now. Mo used to wake you on Sunday morning by making your breakfast. Then he put you all to work in the yard, mowing, raking, and weeding. Woe is to the one who complained. Then there was the job of house painting. Now that was a real accomplishment. Three stories high, hanging on a ladder against the house with a torch to burn off the peeling paint and scraper. Finally, the big job of holding on the ladder with a gallon of paint and brush. Once you all finished the high side, you felt the rest was a piece of cake. Thanks to God, no one fell. And I think the experience was another link in your ability to work as a team. Your joint purchase of Auntie Ray's house on Bainbridge Island is another example of your teamwork. I want to ask you for forgiveness for not spending more time with each of you individually to learn what was going on in your lives. I realize that you were all and are so different from each other. I also want to apologize for my behavior at times. Sometimes I would yell at you for the little things that really didn't matter. The whole neighborhood could hear me. I would put my hand on top of my head and say, I'm up to here. Truly, at times, I thought I was losing my mind. Trying to raise four boys along with the daily worries and struggles of life, money and health, would have me so exasperated. Thankfully, I went back to work. I saved and invested in property so that now I'm able to live here at the Summit and don't have the same worries. I'm so lucky to have such a loving, devoted family. I am proud of how you have conducted your lives, and I'm thankful that you are there for me and for others. God bless you. Your mom and Nona love Gracie.
Before I read what I wrote, I want to tell you that when Aunt Grace was put in hospice care, I might need you, Mason, too. when Aunt Grace was put in hospice care, I really felt the need to put my feelings together to help me get through this. And so I actually said to Auntie Gracie one day after I'd written it, I said, Auntie, this is what I'm going to read at your funeral. Do you want to hear it? And then she said, yeah, I do. So I did read this, and when I was done, she laughed at the right parts and everything. And when I was done, she said, that was good. I said, okay, Aunt. By nature, Grace Azos was my aunt, but by nurture, she was my mother. Aunt Gracie has been an integral and loving part of my life since I can remember. She was a woman who possessed integrity and loyalty. Other adjectives used to describe my Auntie Grace: upbeat, kind, methodical, smart, and as a youngster, she was athletic. She liked to claim that she was asked to join the circus as an acrobat. You could depend on her no matter what the circumstances. To me, she embodied love. Whether assuming the role of mother for the fifth time or nurse for my 7th month stay at the Summit, there was never complaint. It was understood that she would always do what she considered to be the right thing, no questions asked. There's no way I can put into words the depth of my love for Auntie Grace. She taught me so much. For instance, when you buy a new article of clothing and you charge it, you can't wear it until the bill comes and you pay for it. sorry, Auntie, that rule did not stick. She also taught me that I must try to accept people and situations the way they are. Esto modo es, an important life lesson. For those of us who had the privilege of knowing and loving this special woman, Grace Azos, we will forever hold her in our hearts and be true to her by endeavoring to always do our best and to do what's right. Let me conclude with another of Auntie Gracie's favorite sayings. She would say this after a fun and sometimes exhausting event. I hope she felt this way about her life. Too much good time in America.
So first I'd like to just say thank you so much for all of you that are here today. On behalf of my brothers and myself, we really appreciate it. And we really, my mother was sick in hospice the last month. We had a great opportunity to sit by her side and talk to her when she was able to talk to us and say our goodbyes. And our children and our grandchildren had that benefit to say their goodbye to mom. I've been elected by my brothers to speak on behalf of us. And similar to Marcy, I put together a speech for her 90th birthday just 2.5 years ago. And I want to say that my mom lived a very long and full life. And while we're sad to see that she's gone, the fact that she lived 92 and a half years is absolutely wonderful and a testament to her. So, and I'm gonna repeat some of the stuff that was already said, because again, this was back from my 90th. And I will also say that unfortunately, because of the holiday, you know, we are not gonna have a meal for friends and family. We are just going to do the meal here. There just wasn't time with the Shabbat. And also because mom was not assuming and didn't like any special attention put to her because of the holiday, there was really no Shiva. And so I think that's in keeping with the way mom would want things. So I'm gonna read this. Grace Israel was born on March 25th, 1927. She was 92 years old. 92 and a half, my Auntie Ray told me, when she passed away on Tuesday night to the day, on Tuesday night the 24th. Grace was the fifth of six children born to Marie and David Israel, and we are thankful that Grace's sisters, Rita and Ray, are here. Her other siblings, Bob, Sarah, and Jack, had passed away. Grace's name, given name at birth, was Zipporah. And I understand at home her family mainly spoke Ladino, but Sarah, mom's older sister, said they needed to speak English at home so they all could become fluent and become more Americanized. When mom was ready to begin school, Sarah said that mom needed an American name to go to school. Sarah had a favorite teacher, and her name was Grace. So that was how mom's name became Grace. And I will tell you that I've heard from so many people that that mom's name really reflected who she was. The Israels were not rich. David owned his own shoe repair business, and Marie stayed at home to care for her children. Mom said her father was not a very successful businessman because he had such a very kind heart, something that my mom had. He had one employee, and when business was slow, he would not let his employee go or reduce his salary. He just made do with less money for himself. And again, this is a trait that mom had as well. And as Marcy said, mom was very athletic. Growing up, she tells us she was a faster runner than most of the boys of her age and was very limber and flexible. And she could have been good in gymnastics. And she enjoyed later in life when our grandkids were starting to take gymnastics, she enjoyed sharing and showing some of the moves that she could do. And she was told us, as Marcy said, that she was asked to join the circus. We're not sure whether that was true or not. Mom was greatly affected by the deportation of the Japanese during World War II. She had a very good friend whose family was deported to Idaho, and Mom would send letters to her regularly. Again, this is kind of reemphasizes this feeling my mom had of caring for others. David and Marie were, Israel were hardworking blue-collar individuals, and they instilled on their children the goal to get a college education and a professional career. All their children attended college, and I think it was amazing that these immigrants had all their children go to college. Grace graduated from high school at Garfield in 1945, entered college at the University of Washington the following fall. She decided to do her undergraduate studies with the goal of becoming a nurse. She quit school prior to graduating when she met Mo. Al has brought it up, and we've all thought about it. We questioned whether Mom would ever have been a good nurse. While she had a great disposition, when she saw blood ever from one of us, she went crazy. Mo and Grace again met shortly after Mo came back to Seattle after getting out of the Navy. They were introduced by friends and fell madly in love. We were married on June 22, 1947. Mom was only 20 years old. It wasn't long before Grace and Mo began having children. Steve was born in 48, I in 50, Al in 51, and Jay in 59. Mom used to say that she had three boys in 36 months, which was a handful for her. While all of us were good, my father, if you knew my father, he ruled with an iron fist, and more than once we were treated to his belt. And I can always remember Mom chasing us around the house and yelling at the top of her voice how we were all driving her crazy. Mom went back to work after all his boys were in school and his money was tight. She never complained about having to re-enter the workforce. She worked one Christmas at a department store in the toy department. I'm not sure if she made any money because we all received some nice toys for Hanukkah that year. She also worked another Christmas at the post office sorting mail. She then began her career in banking, first working for Puget Sound Bank on Beacon Hill. And I can remember one time that she was robbed when she was working, and that was just extremely upsetting to her. So her goal was to get out of being a teller in a bank. And then she worked as a supervisor in Tuckwillow handling check processing. Then she worked for my brother Steve and Uncle Dave at ADS Equipment, and she worked for 20 years before she retired in 1999. Mom and Dad stressed to us boys the importance of a college education, and they were very proud to say all the boys had graduated from college and had successful business careers. Mom and Dad believe very much in family, and all of our children can remember with great fondness the days that we spent with Nona and Pompu at their house in Mercer Island around the pool. I think all of us brothers have continued to pass on that trait with our children and our grandchildren. In retirement, Mom and Dad enjoyed traveling. They spent a number of winters in Palm Springs. They also enjoyed going on cruises to Hawaii and Mexico, and also going to Las Vegas. Dad passed away in 2009. His health had deteriorated over the years, and he was on hospice care for more than a year. Mom was a constant supporter and companion and helped him live comfortably much longer than the doctors predicted. Mom was very devoted to him. We boys constantly hear from people who know Mom and share with us what a nice person she is. Mom always had a smile on her face. She never complained. And she never gossiped or spoke badly about anyone. She used to say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. She was shy and unassuming and never wanted to be the center of attention. Mom was kind and thoughtful, and she believed in giving back to the community. where they're helping out at the Sephardic Adventure Camp some 60 years ago. And we just buried Rabbi Maimon, and he was the founder for the Sephardic Adventure Camp. Mom and Dad worked at the Sephardic Adventure Camp way back then, at the very beginning, or baking at the bazaar, and she was always willing to help. Mom enjoyed good health in her senior years. Her only major difficulty was her hearing, which I believe is something that runs in the Israel family. But she never complained and attended most public events and family gatherings when she was only able to hear a very small part of what was being said. But Mom brought, and for years she had this little thing she called Roger with her, and she did her best and never complained. We all admired how gracefully Mom and Dad made their move to the summit. While I know it's a difficult step for most, they embraced the move with open arms. And I'll tell you, Mom also made the move to the climb as her health was deteriorating with not a single complaint. Mom loved to keep her mind active. She enjoyed crossword and jigsaw puzzles whenever she could. Mom also enjoyed one of her guilty pleasures of going to the local casinos to gamble. She loved playing the slot machines. And I'll tell you, she was really lucky. She was very lucky. And I can remember that the Brotherhood did bingo at the summit, and almost every time that we had bingo at the summit, Mom would win something. Always win. She also enjoyed the classes and outings that she did with La Dineros. Mom has had a difficult time the past year. She was diabetic and had developed neuropathy. It's where they lose their feeling in her feet. And I can remember one day when she was over for Friday night dinner at my house, I noticed that she was having a great difficulty walking. And I said, you know, Mom, and she grabbed my arm and she wanted me to help hold her or walk with her as we were walking out. So maybe it's time for you to look into getting a walker. Mom said, I think I'm still good for a little bit. But unfortunately, right after that, she fell getting out of bed at the summit and fractured her hip. And that led to a slow downward spiral for her. But Mom was a realist. And she decided about 8 months ago when it was time for her to go to the climb. It was she didn't feel that she could be at the summit anymore. And she was not bitter or angry or felt sorry for herself. She accepted this move with much grace and charm as she did her entire life. Well, all my brothers and I did our best to stay in touch and help Mom in any way we could. I think it's important to recognize Jay for his dedication to Mom. He was the person that Mom would call whenever she needed something. Well, she could call us, Steve, Al, myself. Al was the first person she would call, and Al was always there for her. Or Jay was always there. Sorry. I'm now saying what my mom used to say. Play number one, number two, number three. I'll tell you a funny story. When Mom was doing this, was telling us about her wishes in terms of at some point, if she got sick, that she wanted to be able to, that we knew that she wanted no extra care and to let her go. And it was very interesting when she sat down and talked to us. She says, now, I'm putting, I think it was Steve first and then Al second and me third. And she says, I'm putting Jay last because he would never, he's such nice, he would never do anything. I also want to recognize my cousin Marcy, who my mother treated as a daughter that she never had. They had a very close and wonderful relationship. I also want to recognize Mom's sister, Auntie Ray. we boys had the opportunity to spend almost the last month every day with my mom. And Auntie Ray would come, and my mom, if she was, she might have been out of it and not able to respond to us. When Auntie Ray came and she would start talking to mom, mom would perk up. And it was funny how she would, you know, we all call Auntie Ray Ray. When she talked to Auntie Ray, it was Rachel. It was always Rachel. And Auntie Ray was a constantly there with mom at the Klein. Mom loved and is loved by all her children and grandchildren, and her great-grandchildren. She has 12 grandchildren and 17 great-grandchildren. And as an indication of the love they hold for her, there are at least 5 of the children or grandchildren that have Grace as part of their name. I want to also thank the Klein Gallen staff, who were very good to mom. They gave her wonderful care at the end. Gina, the hospice nurse, was a big help for us during that last month where she didn't know what to expect in terms of her health. There was Katrina and Nina, and I have to tell you this story that both of them said to me about how caring mom was. And Nina related a story, again, which just reemphasizes mom's attitude, that mom liked to go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. And she had, because she couldn't walk, they had to use kind of like this hoist to get her in and out of bed and in her wheelchair or whatever. Nina had told her when she started working with her that her shift finished at 8 o'clock. Mom said, so if I want to go to bed at 8 o'clock, that means you're not going to be able to leave at 8 o'clock. And she goes, yeah, it's no big deal. I will put you down and then I will leave. Mom said, nope. From now on, you put me down to bed at 7 or 7:30. I want you to be able to leave at 8 o'clock. And that's the way my mom was. And again, I also want to express my appreciation to Rabbi Hassan. And as Rabbi Hassan said, when I called him and asked him to go visit my mother, he was wonderful and did that. And the rabbi didn't tell you the second part of the story besides mom's question about can the rabbi talk to heaven for her? Al was there. Al and Arlene were there when the rabbi came to visit mom. And the rabbi said, I'm sure you're going to be happy to see your brothers and your sisters. And she said, yes, I'm going to be very happy to see my brothers and sisters. And she says, and your husband? So, yes, and there was also, she also had something about a grandmother that Auntie Ray said that you don't remember her being such a tough cookie. Mom's grandmother.
My grandmother?
Yeah. Oh, she was tough. So, yeah, in a nice way. So, on a final note, I want to thank my good friend Steve Candiotti. This has been an awful time for him and his family, and for the Brotherhood in general. There were 4 funerals in a week. And I can tell you that as mom got sicker, I would talk to Steve and say, Steve, I just don't know when this is going to happen. Steve would tell me, Dave, no matter what time it is, you just call anytime. And he was wonderful. And Steve, thank you so much. Mom, I hope you're enjoying reconnecting with all your siblings and even Dad. We will miss you and honor your memory with the lessons you taught us. We love you.
As Dave said, because we're